you thankful for his beautiful presence. And I feel his presence here with us tonight. His sweet presence. I love whenever he just comes in there and he just wraps his loving arms around me. You know, I've never really seen his arms, but I've seen his arms through you. But I have felt his arms wrap around me. Whenever I was struggling, whenever I was disappointed, whenever I was worried, whenever I was frightened. Some of that all just happened last week. And yet whenever he walks in and he just wraps his arms around us. Sweet presence. We thank you, Lord, for your sweet presence. We came here because you're here, Lord. We came here to bring glory and honor to you, Father, to lift you up, to grow in you. We thank you, Lord, for meeting with us tonight, for revealing yourself to us in a new, in a bold, and in a fresh way. Open up our hearts. Stay every word that is not your will. Speak through us, Lord, and speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can turn to Revelation. I hope you brought your Bible tonight so we can enjoy together the word of the Lord. You can turn to Revelation. And I want to say thank you once again to Pastor for his loving care and generosity towards me to open up and share the book of Revelation with you. The revelation of Jesus Christ with God's people. I want to say that Sunday school Sunday on Easter Sunday was absolutely awesome. It was great to be back with our children. We love our TPC kids, and we look forward to every Sunday opening up the Word of God with our children, worshiping and exploring God's Word with them. But I want to say something. I want to put a little plug in here for Sunday school. The only way that we can have Sunday school every Sunday is if we have enough volunteers. Because now we're in two different places. It requires a little bit more from us because we have more children in each of those places. And so whenever we have enough volunteers, then all of our volunteers only have to work 1 to 2 Sundays a month. You don't have to be in there every single Sunday. You're not going to miss out every Sunday from the preach word of God. I know Pastor is so good that we want to be in here every Sunday. But we also want our children to grow in the word of God. And so you don't have to teach Sunday school. You don't have to teach the Bible lesson to be in there to help with Sunday school. There are so many things that you can do. You can help take care of babies and children. You can help in craft and check in and check out. You can help in media. You can help lead in worship. So I want you to pray about it because we want you to join with us in the fun. The more people we have to help us, the fewer Sundays we work in Sunday school. It gives all of us the opportunity to be in here. So you pray with us about that. Okay, so if you'll turn in, we're going to begin with Revelation chapter 1. And verse 1 through 3, we're going to start off with our introductory verses first. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things he saw. Verse 3, blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, up until now, you have most likely read Revelation chapters 1 through 5. After tonight, if you have not already proceeded forward, we're asking that you read chapters 6 through 10, and in a few weeks, we're going to come back beginning with chapter 6. So now I want you to turn over and let's read Revelation chapter 5. In verses 9 and 10. So tonight's Bible study is on Revelation chapter 5. We won't always do just one chapter. I know last time we did and this time we did. We are. And it's titled The Lion and the Lamb. So Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Verse 9 begins, "And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Verse 10, "And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Thank you for standing, and you can be seated. Now, this picture in Revelation chapter 5 just takes Revelation chapter 4 to a whole new level. And so I encourage you, if not just because I was teaching, but if you have not heard Revelation chapter 4, then I encourage you to go back and listen to chapter 4. It was the lesson on we explored the Holy God, the God who was and is to come. We explored the Worthy One, the one who receives all glory and honor and power and has created all things. But up to this point, sin had separated us from God. We saw in chapter 4 how great our God is. But how does that include us? Where do we stand? And so in Revelation chapter 5 is the Easter story reviewed. We see Jesus Christ ushering in the fulfillment of all God's purposes for creation. Jesus Christ is put in the front. His deity is affirmed once again in chapter 5. We cannot go any further in the book of Revelation until Jesus Christ's deity is revealed and affirmed. And so in Revelation chapter 5, in verse 2, it says this, "I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book?' But no answer comes, for no creature is worthy. No creature in heaven or in earth or under the earth was found worthy. Then came one who is found worthy." Verse 6 of chapter 5 says, "Stood a lamb as it had been slain, and the lamb came and took the book and sat upon the throne." Now, if you remember, Revelation is full of imagery. Jesus Christ as the slaughtered lamb is taken from the Passover story in Exodus chapter 12. Jesus Christ is the lamb who goes to the throne. He takes the scroll that contains God's unfolding plan of redemption and begins to open it. Christ aptly refers to himself here as the lamb. Now, contrary to popular belief, lambs are intelligent. They are meek and social animals. But when the time comes, they submit as they are led away to slaughter. Jesus Christ, with purpose, allowed himself, even in his innocence and deity, submitted himself to be led away, to be crucified, that we might know God through salvation. Acts 2 and 39 says, "For the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all of those that are afar off." And Revelation chapter 5 confirms Acts chapter 2 and 39. For Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9 reads, "From every kindred and tongue and people and nation, Christ has redeemed us with his own blood." Jesus Christ has made salvation possible that we might enjoy God for ourselves and that we might be restored to God for all of eternity. Remember, up to this point, sin had separated us from God. Up to this point, we could not enjoy eternal life with Christ because our sin has separated us. But when Jesus Christ shed his own blood, we were redeemed back to God. And chapter 5 reveals the deity of Jesus Christ, which is the very nature of God. There is no one or nothing that could ever redeem us from sin, because there is no one or nothing that is worthy but God. God robed in the flesh, the man Jesus Christ, he is the only one found worthy because he is equal with God, because he is God himself. He is the very God that is worthy, and no man can ever sing the new song of eternal life until he believes Jesus Christ to be the true deity and receives him as Lord and God. To have Christ, God in the flesh, standing between God and man is the joy of every believing heart. We could never reach up to God except that Jesus has come to bridge the distance between us. Jesus Christ is the mediator for our soul. He is the Redeemer, the only one worthy. When Jesus undertook to be our mediator, this was the extreme point to which he pledged to be our substitute. We didn't have to give our life because we were not worthy. He became the lamb slain because he is the only worthy one. Jesus Christ is never more glorious than in his death. He became the slain to give us atonement, which is the highest act of his glory. He redeemed us with his blood. Now, I'm sure most of us are already saying, we know all that. But in Revelation, God's word wants to remind us once again, before he ends the book, of who Jesus Christ is. For the last book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So I want you to just allow me to elaborate just a little bit more. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, became our Redeemer when he shed his blood for us. But a thing that is redeemed had to belong originally to the person who redeems it. Christ could not redeem us unless we originally belonged to him. John 17:6 tells us that. I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. We have always been God's. He created us. So then the only one worthy to redeem us was the one whose we were from the very beginning. But through a broken world, we became indebted through sin. We, having sinned, came under the curse of the law. And though God still held to it that we were his, we were yet under this embargo. Sin had a claim upon us. We were separated from God. But the Lamb, Jesus Christ, was slain so that we would be redeemed back to God. So now that we have laid this foundation of chapter 5, let's look at the rest of chapter 5. Now, stay with me for a few more minutes as we begin to connect all the dots, because the best part of chapter 5 hasn't just yet to come. Now that we've established that Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain, he is God manifested in the flesh, he is the only worthy one because he is God, let's look at the book that Revelation chapter 5 is referring to. It's the book sealed with seven seals. Now, the book comes from the Greek word biblion, meaning small scroll that is written on the inside and on the back. Or, as it is literally in the Greek, it is written within and behind. Since the writing was fully covered, or the entire surface was covered, nothing could be added to it. And when it was sealed, nothing could be taken away from it. Thus, the image symbolizes a complete and a finished work. God never leaves anything unfinished. Jesus Christ finished the work. The number 7 signifies, once again, fullness and completion. The book was sealed to guarantee that the document would not be changed, falsified, or fully disclosed until it was time. Jesus Christ redeeming us to God can never be changed. We are guaranteed through Jesus Christ salvation to God and eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. In verse 6, we see the Lamb having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits. So what does that mean? Well, we believe that the 7 horns to portray omnipotence. The 7 eyes refer to the omniscience, and the 7 spirits refer to the completeness and the fullness, once again confirming God and Jesus to be one in the same. Then we see verse 6 ends with the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Conveys to us the omnipresence, meaning God is everywhere, and the omniscience, meaning God knows all, works together to form a multidimensional portrait of who Christ is. It just confirms the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. Jesus is the fullness of God manifested in the flesh. Now let's look at verse 8. And when he had taken the book or the scroll, the beast, and so if you remember back to our study on chapter 4, the beast refers to all other creation. And the 24 elders, referring to the entire church, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Now the harps are referring to the praise and worship of the entire church. Remember, God loves worship. The golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints, is in reference to Psalm chapter 141 and verse 2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. This is making reference to the ritual of the tabernacle in the Old Testament. Upon entering the tabernacle, the priest had to take the greatest care to compose a sweet-smelling savor or incense to send up to the Lord. But no longer does a priest need to send up incense for us, because our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, gave his life and redeemed us back to God. And now we can come boldly to God ourselves. As in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The fact that these are prayers of the saints indicates that God hears the prayers of his people. As according to Psalm chapter 65 and verse 2, you who answer prayer, our Lord hears the prayers of the righteous. As according to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 29, which is another way of saying that he listens to the prayers of the saints. Now, who are the saints in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8? The saints are not an elite class of people who are more holy than the rest. They are not either mediators of our prayers. We know this because we are confirmed this through 1 Timothy 2 and 5. For 1 Timothy 2 and 5 tells us there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. The term saint in Scripture implies equality, not hierarchy. We are all one in Christ according to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. The saints are all believers in Jesus, saved by grace through faith. The church is loved by God and called to be saints, as in Romans 1 and 5. Anyone can be a saint of God. So that when we pray, it's as if a golden bowl of incense is being carried to the very throne of God. So you may ask, whom are these prayers of the saints for? Since these prayers are the combination of all believers' prayers through all of time, they are about everybody and about everything that is consistent with God's will. So when you pray for someone's salvation, the prayer is in the bowl. When you pray for safety and relief of people after a natural disaster, the prayer is in the bowl. When you pray that God would conform you into his image, the image of Jesus Christ, the prayer is in the bowl. When we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, the prayer is in the bowl. Now let's tie all of Revelation chapter 5 together. So we have seen Jesus Christ revealed as the Lamb slain for the redeeming of our soul in chapter 5 and verse 6. But in verse 5 of chapter 5, he is introduced as the root of David, literally meaning Jesus Christ, the man in flesh, was born to the lineage of the King David. But he is also introduced as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Okay, so Jesus is from the tribe of Judah. But why the lion? Lions are considered the most majestic of all animals. They are powerful and cunning. They are leaders, and they are also social beings. Christ is social. From the very beginning, that's why he created us, to have relationship with us. Christ desires relationship with every single one of us. He did not make us to be isolated. Isolation breeds depression, which in turn produces silence. But why the lion? Why not another animal? There are animals that are bigger and stronger and have more stamina than the lion. There are animals that are faster, even animals that are better hunters. But what makes the lion arguably the most fearsome animal to walk the earth? The lion's voice is what makes it the most feared animal of all. A lion's roar can be heard up to 5 miles away. It is the reputation of the lion's roar that makes it feared among all animals and among all mankind. Now, we've never met Albert Einstein or Adolf Hitler, or probably we've never even met Mother Teresa, but we know them because they had a statement to make, and they made that statement, good or bad. They made their voice be heard. The statements we make about our life and our God are not just how we speak, but also how we live, the choices we make, the friends we associate with, the books we read, and the character we build. The lion knows that its roar precedes it everywhere it goes. That's why it is the epitome of boldness. The more we strengthen our voice in prayer, our character and godliness, our reputation defined by God's word, the bolder our roar, the louder our voice. Did you know that the lion is the most active in the nighttime hour? Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus, the meek lamb slain for all sinners. Jesus, risen from the grave, came out roaring like a lion. Jesus, not afraid of the darkness. Instead, he is more active and powerful than he has ever been. Our world may grow darker, but rest assured, Jesus is just as active as ever. His light has not diminished. His power has not subdued. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still the all-powerful, the almighty, the all-present one. He is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is still the Savior of the world. He is still the answer to our prayers. He is still our righteousness and Savior. And so we see now in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10. Now he's kind of brought us in as he talked about being the Lamb slain for our sins. But now he wants to let us know exactly what that means. And so in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, "And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Jesus Christ roars to us, "Because I have redeemed you with my blood, you can now rule and reign with me. You can now live in abundance. And because I have overcome, now we are overcomers." He roars, "You are a freed people with a purpose in the kingdom of God." Now we see where it says in verse 10 of chapter 5, the king refers to the word basileia, meaning the act of ruling. And the words, they shall reign on the earth, comes from the Greek word basileo, meaning to exercise authority. So in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when it says, repent for the remission of sins, be baptized in Jesus' name, and ye shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, the lion was roaring with a loud voice that will carry throughout eternity. My child, when you are filled with my Spirit, the same Spirit that raised me from the dead has now given you authority in this life and in the life to come. He may have been hung up on the cross as the meek, submitting lamb, but he came forth roaring out of the grave as a lion. Darkness fears him. Death cannot hold him. And because he redeemed you and I with his shed blood, he roars to us. Child of God, you are mine. Child of God, you have everything you need. Child of God, you are empowered with my Spirit. Child of God, heal the sick. Set the captives free. Deliver the oppressed. Child of God, you are my voice. Roar like you have never roared before. Exercise your authority in Christ Jesus. Walk in the darkness with my strength, with my power, and with my boldness. It's once again the revelation of Jesus Christ revealed to us in Revelation chapter 5. But it doesn't just end there, because this is actually only the beginning. It is customary that when you walk in to greet a person of royalty, you bow in respect and submission. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 14 says, and they fell down and worshiped him that lives forever and ever. But before we fall down and worship, we must give a reply to our king. For the last roar we heard, we read at the end of Matthew, and at the end of Mark, and at the end of Luke, and I have put these together. It was after Jesus was crucified, after he rose from the grave, just before he ascended up into heaven, Jesus Christ roared with these words, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we know what that name is. That name has been revealed to us through Jesus Christ. Preach the gospel, he went on to say to every creature. He that believes shall be saved, and he that does not believe shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, cast out devils, speak with new tongues. No deadly thing shall hurt you. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Do what I have commanded you, for I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, if you'll stand with me and if the musicians would join me. So the rest of the book of Revelation is ushered in with a new song. Remember, God loves worship. And John said in verse 11, and behold, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands. Now it's our turn to reply to the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah, because the last words that we heard were, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. And so in verse 12, saying with a loud voice, we reply with a powerful song of worship throughout eternity, saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And it continues, and blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. That's why Satan has focused all of his energy every day. We don't get to focus all of our energy on one thing. right? Satan's come to kill, steal, and destroy. All those three mean the same thing. All of his energy is focused in on one thing. All of the angels that fell with him, they are focused in on one thing. Our energy has gone to, we had to get up and get dressed this morning. We had to go to work. We had to wash clothes. We had to do dishes. We had to feed our family. We had to make up the bed. We had to make all kinds of decisions at work and at home. Right? Our energy spread out. But Satan's, he gets to focus his, all of his energy on one thing. In all of our lives, every day is to try and shut down our voice. Satan lost his authority and dominion for all of eternity whenever he was cast out from heaven. Satan's time is limited upon this earth, and he knows it. So Satan is imitating the roar of the lion to us. If he can discourage us, if he can depress us, if he can isolate us, if he can distract us, if he can destroy us, if he can steal from us, and if he can kill our spirituality, he will keep us from our God-given destiny. He will omit God's purpose in our life. But because we have the roar of the lion within us, his spirit within us, all we have to do is open our mouth and speak. I am not perfect, but Christ is the perfect one. I am not all-knowing, but Christ has all the knowledge. I am not all-powerful, but Christ is all-powerful. I am not holy, but because of him, I am holy. I can speak with boldness because Jesus Christ redeemed me from all sin. I am now a child of God, redeemed by his blood, and I will now and forevermore rule and reign with him throughout all eternity. And he keeps telling me that the revelation of Jesus Christ, he is roaring. He is the roaring lion within us. He is the roaring lion for us. He is the roaring lion yesterday, today, and forevermore. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing and honor and glory and power unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. He desires for us to be with him for an eternity. So he roars, you are mine, and I have redeemed you. What's in your life that you need to speak to? Those thoughts that are tormenting your mind, speak back to them with the word of God. Pastors preach to us, talk back. Declare his goodness in your life. That depression that walked into your home, drive it out with the declaration of God's word. Declare, I am overcoming. I'm not perfect, but I am overcoming. I am not alone. God is always with me through sickness, through death, through trials, and through tribulations. Let the enemy know who roars in your life, because whenever he steps up with that depression, whenever he steps up with that distraction, it's just to pull you away. But all you have to do is roar the word of God, and he trembles. He can't stand the name of Jesus. He shakes. He has to bow down because he has no authority or dominion, and because he has redeemed us. It's the revelation of who he is. And because he has redeemed us, it is also who he is in us. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 5. He just keeps bringing it home to us. He just keeps letting us know, this is who I am. This is who your Father is. He's powerful. He's mighty. Whenever that comes against you, you just speak it. You just say it. You just claim it. You just declare it. You just keep bringing it. You just keep saying it. I am healed. I am healed through the blood of Jesus. My family is saved through the blood of Jesus. I am an overcomer, and I am overcoming through the blood of Jesus. It's who he is. Speak and declare. Lift up your hands unto the Lord and begin to declare those things that you want to see in your life. Not as you see them. Do not stand upon what you see. We see that building over there all tore down, but we don't stand on what we see. We stand on what we know, and what we know that is Christ is for us. So who can be against us? No one, nothing.
nothing with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, full of His Spirit. We can roar like a lion. We can be filled with His power and with His might and with His strength. I thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. I thank You, Lord, declare through me, O Lord. I thank You for the goodness of the Lord. I thank You that Your thoughts for me are good and they are not evil. I thank You, Lord, that You're always looking after me and that You're always caring for me. I thank You, Lord, that I may not understand every circumstance and every situation, but I thank You, Lord, that You are for me and that You see the whole picture, God, that You are leading me to the way that I need to go, God. I thank You for Your love and for Your tender mercies to me, God, for You are worthy of all glory and honor.
Because of who You are, I give You praise. Yes, because of who You are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship You because of who You are. Oh, Lord, I worship You because of who You are. Yes, Your Jehovah Jireh, Your my provider.
Something. The reason why that God wants worship is not because He's an egomaniac and needs it. He wants worship because He knows that people imitate the object of their worship. So whatever you're worshiping is what you're going to imitate. And He knows there's nothing higher or better than Himself. And so He wants you to worship because you're going to imitate what you worship. What I want you to walk out of here remembering tonight is you've got a lion on the inside of you. And every voice that will try to make you think you're not enough, you can't do it, you're not this, you're not that, you roar back and you say, devil, you're a liar. I have everything I need on the inside of me. I've got the very spirit that raised Christ from the dead. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That's right. You got to roar. You say, where do I roar at? In your house, in your home, in your prayer closet. Devil, I know you're trying to put that spirit of depression on me, but I roar back to you and I say, I'm not receiving that. I'm not going to look at what I'm not. I'm going to look at what I am. I'm not going to focus on the apple. I'm going to look at the orchard. Come on, somebody. I'm not defeated because Christ gave me dominion. Did that make sense? Amen. Here's what you do before you go home. Look at three people and say, you got a lion living in you. Tell them that. You got a lion. You got a lion living in you. Let it speak. Let it roar. God bless you. Have a great night. We love you and we look forward to seeing you on Sunday. You got a lion in you. Let it roar. Let it speak.
Used to be in the club. I need you to dance right here. All right, everybody, shiny right here.